Chapter number 37, we have fast forward a little bit over a few chapters in the book of Genesis, and we are now in Genesis chapter 37. We will see how the story takes place off the life of Jacob, and now going upon one of Jacob's sons, and his name was Joseph. The story of Joseph is one of the greatest stories in all the Bible, and we're going to enjoy looking in the next several weeks in this story, in this life of this young man named Joseph. Title of this morning's message is Trusting God with Your Life. One of the things I love about this story is that you see Joseph is willing to take and just trust God with everything that's going on. Most of you that are familiar with the Bible, at least know a little bit about the Bible, probably know a little bit about this man Joseph. He was a favorite of his father's, and then his brothers hated him for it, and they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. And then while in Egypt, he was sold as a slave to Potiphar and did a good job, and Potiphar's wife accuses him of raping her or attacking her, and then he's put in prison. While in prison, he interprets a dream for the butler and the baker, and then we see how he's brought before Pharaoh, and just a story how God takes care of him all the way through, and he makes all things work together for good. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We all love that verse because when we face a hardship or a hard time, we're like, man, God's going to make this work out for good. And the truth is, He can make every situation work out for good. But that end of that verse, it says, to them who are called according to His purpose. And before that it says, to them that love God. And if we put our faith and trust in God and we demonstrate our love towards God and we do what God has called us to do, He is going to make things work out in the end for His glory and for His purposes. Now here's the catch is, if we don't do what God wants us to do and we're not doing the called according to His purpose, things aren't going to turn out the way that we want them to or the way that God expects them to. And in this story, it was just amazing thought that we can give our life over to God, even though sometimes we will face testing, and even though we'll face trials, even though we might not understand where God is doing or where God is taking us, that God can take all the details and work out His plan. And we just have to learn how to trust in Him. And let's look here in this morning in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11, and we're just going to look at how if we just give our lives over to God, God can make something magnificent out of it. Here in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old," so we see how old he is here, "was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." So there, he's out there working with the sheep. He comes and he's working with these men. We don't know if it's one of the first times he works with these men, but there's something wrong that these men are doing. And he goes and he gives his father an evil report. Some people say, well, he was just being a tattletale. I don't think that's the case here. I think Joseph was looking out his best interest for his father, and there was something that they were doing that was wrong and maybe hurting his father's sheep that were his father's possession at the time. And here Joseph goes and tells his father what was going on. And verse number 3, "Now Israel," now remember how Jacob's name was changed to Israel when he wrestled with God, wrestled with the angel. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children." And once again, this is not something that Joseph has asked for, but we see the father making a mistake here. And nobody should have known better this with the relationships of what favoritism did with Jacob and Esau and with his parents. But Jacob does not learn from his mistakes. He is not perfect here, and we see that he loves Israel more than all of his children. "Because he was the son of his old age," and remember how the wife that he loved the most in Rachel had this child at an older age, "and he made him a coat of many colors." And this coat of many colors shows that this is the one who was going to be the heir. He has 10 older brothers, but he is going to be the heir, and this makes his brothers hate him. Well, it says in verse number 4, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf, obeisance. And his brethren said to them, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, brother, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but the father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, I know that I personally don't have anything to offer that could be of a help to these people today, but only through your power and through your spirit, and Lord, and through your word, Lord, can we hear from you. Lord, that's what we're asking for. Lord, help us to leave this place realizing that whatever the trial is, whatever the test is, whatever it is that you're leading us through, that we can trust you. And Lord, I thank you for the story of Joseph. I thank you that it's as a type of Christ, but Lord, also a type of an individual who had to take a stand and did what was right. And Lord, he was scoffed at, he was laughed at, but Lord, you're with him during that time. Lord, speak to our hearts once again today about the power that we can put our faith and trust in, Lord, and that's your power. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a story told about a certain evangelist. His wife had passed away, and when he would go away to meetings, he would hire a babysitter to take care of his two sons. Whenever he had been away, he would always bring them a gift when he arrived back home. And one day, he came home, he had forgotten to buy his boys a gift. When they asked for their presents, the father told them that he would take them to the store and they could have whatever they wanted in the whole entire store. When they arrived, the first thing they saw was a candy counter. They decided they wanted to buy candy. And their father said, okay, but let's look around a little bit more first. Then they went to the toy department and they saw a cowboy suit, complete with guns, hats, ropes, and they both yelled, that's what we want. The father said, okay, but let's look around a little bit more first. Next, they go into the sporting goods store and section and they found basketballs. They began to dribble these balls around in the store and they told their father that they wanted the balls more than anything else. And the father said, okay, let's look around just a little bit more. So they continued to shop, and as they did, they spotted two brand new 10-speed bicycles against the back wall. Their father saw what they were looking at and they both exclaimed, we would love to have those. And the father said, well, that's what I was hoping you would get all along. See, these two boys left the store with far more than they bargained for of just a couple pieces of candy. Their father had not let them settle for anything less than the best. And he intended to buy these bikes all along. Actually, they had put those bikes in the back of the store on purpose for them. And the two boys got something that was much, much more wonderful than just some candy. They got something more than they could ever imagine. Now you say, what does that have to do with our lives and our Christian life? See, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose. He has something He wants you to do. And sometimes we settle for little things when God wants something great for us. And the story of Joseph, you're going to see how God has a plan for him. He has a purpose. And you see at the end of the story, I know I told you about all the bad things that happened to Joseph, but at the end of the story, he becomes the second in charge of the most powerful nation at the time. And he is able to save many, many people's lives from a famine, even his own family's life, because he allowed God to do a work in him that was complete and all the way through. Today, my hope for you is that you will realize that you can trust God with your life, just as Joseph did. First point is trusting God when we have to be different. Trusting God when we have to be different. Here in verses 1 through 4, we see in the story that Joseph was different than his brothers. If you read the story of his life, it's plain to see that Joseph stood out from his brothers. He had higher character, he had higher commitment. Even in his clothing that his father gave him, it was different, and his brothers hated him for it. Say, Pastor, what does that have to do with trusting God? Well, I tell you, if you trust God with your life, that you're going to be different in the world. The Bible tells us that we are pilgrims and that we're strangers. The Bible tells us that we live according to a higher standard because we live according to the standard that God has set for us in His Word. And being different is socially unacceptable. If you look here in the story, you see in verse number 3, it said that Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors. Verse number 4, we see that his brothers, it says at the end, not even able to speak peacefully about him. Verse number 2, you see that he goes out to work with some of his brothers, and his brothers are doing something wicked, doing something wrong. Joseph goes home and tells his father, you know what the easy thing would have been to do? As a younger brother going out there watching these grown men work, what would have been the easiest thing to do? Was just stay quiet. Would have been just to fit in. But Joseph knows there's something wrong, and he knows that something unacceptable was going on, and he was not willing to just conform. See, the world will tell you, to get along, you must go along. Many people will tell you the secret of popularity is conformity. And this is what the world will cry and try to tell you. But I need here to tell you that if you want to do God's will, you must learn to trust Him with your life. And this means that you will be different. See, everyone else wants to fit in. Everyone else wants to be accepted. And it is nice to be accepted. It is nice to fit in. But never at the price it takes to lose God's will for your life. See, being different is okay. While the world calls us to conform, the Bible gives us a far different message. The Bible tells us not to conform to this world. The Bible tells us to be renewed in this world in a spiritual way. It tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Do things that are holy and acceptable unto God. See, being different is something that a Christian is called to do. And in this world that we live in, we must learn that we're going to have to trust God even when difficult times come. Even when we might be different than the rest of the world, because we are different by design. God has designed the Christian life to shine as a light and not just fit in. Actually, to spread as a light amongst the darkness in this world today. And Joseph here wasn't willing to fit in. He wasn't willing to go along with his older brother. Once again, these are grown men. Once again, these men have been doing it for many years. And no one knew about it, but Joseph stands up for what is right. See, the main reason why we should be different is because God's called us to be different. You think about another man in the Bible, a story of Daniel. Daniel was told to fit in. Daniel was told to eat of the king's meat, drink of the king's wine, or he was going to die. Can you imagine what difference we would have known about Daniel if he would have eaten the king's meat and drank the king's wine? See, we would have never heard about him. We look at Daniel, we look at Joseph, and we look at people in the Bible who took a stand and said, look, it is right to be different here. What is going on in this world is wrong, and I must learn to trust God, even though sometimes it means I'm going to have to be different than everybody else. We would have never heard Daniel's story if he would just follow suit. We would have never learned about Joseph, and we don't know what would have happened to Joseph's family and Joseph's surroundings if Joseph wasn't willing to take a stand here and be different than anybody else. So here's the question. We need to ask ourselves, am I willing to settle for less just to be approved? Or am I looking for God's blessing in my life? See, the only person that we need to learn to please is God. We need to realize and recognize that we are individuals and that we are unique, but our purpose here is to obey Him. So, are you willing to trust God when you got to be different? Are you willing to trust God when it requires that you take a stand? Because that's what happened to Joseph in his life. And this is something you say, oh, well, that's just foolishness, Pastor. He could have just went along. He didn't have to be a tattletale. We see Joseph is giving every area of his life over to God. And someday God is going to give him a great responsibility that's going to save many people's lives. But where does it start with? It starts by being different, even in the little things. Say, Pastor, it doesn't really matter what I do here. I just want to fit in. I just want to be accepted. We have to learn to trust God in every area, even when it's something means that you have to be different. Second thing is trusting God when no one else understands the plan. Trusting God when no one else understands the plan. You know what? That no one else could actually be you. Sometimes you might not understand what God's doing in your life. And I'm sure Joseph, when he was in the pit, when he was crying out for mercy, or when he was in Potiphar's house, or when he was being falsely accused, or while in prison, or even while being forgotten in prison, I'm sure he did not understand all of God's plan. But you know what? He was faithful to it. You see what he does in verses 5 through 11. It says he dreamed a dream. Once again, Joseph did not do this on purpose. This is something God was speaking to Joseph about. Joseph didn't ask to be the favorite child. Joseph didn't ask for these boys to be doing something wrong that he had to go tell their father about. Joseph is just trusting the Lord in every area of his life. God gives him a dream. And Joseph, what does he do? He tells his brothers the dream. Pretty much what the dreams are saying is that he was seeing in the future that someday Joseph was going to be a king or some type of leader, and his brothers were going to come down and bow down to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a little brother or someone that's younger, you say, hey, someday you're going to bow down to me, that probably wouldn't be that great of a... I wouldn't accept that very easily. I would probably laugh. I mean, imagine the sneering that probably went on, the criticism that these brothers give. And then he has another dream. Once again, this is something the Lord gives him. And in this dream, he instead is the one that's risen up, and not only his brothers bow down, but his father and his mother bow down too. And in verse number 10, and he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And he said, and the father's like, who are you that I'm going to bow down to you someday? Say, Pastor, what does this have to do with us? Well, you think about it. God's got a plan for all of us. Joseph dreamed a dream. In this dream, the Lord revealed the future to Joseph. God had a special plan for his life, and he has a special plan for all of our lives. But many of us, sadly, lack the faith and the vision to find out what God's plan is for us. Many times we dismiss what God might be trying to do for us and said, look at what we can do for ourselves. There is something that God wants us to do. And you say, Pastor, this is a message for our young people. I hope they're listening. No, this is a message for all of us. Whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you know what? There are some times when other people are not going to understand your plan. Sometimes when you go and tell somebody, hey, I feel like God's calling me into a ministry, or God wants me to do this, or God wants me to do that, there are going to be people who do not understand, because it's not God's plan for their life, but for yours. See, God had a special plan for Joseph, and we must have the vision and the faith to see what God is trying to do in our lives. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. He wants to work around you in a very unique and special manner. God wants you to be used for His honor and for His glory. He has something that only you can do, and it will not be done unless you do it. So, how about it? Do we really live our lives saying, what is it God wants me to do? Or do we, when we have God speaking to our heart about us doing something for Him, do we stay quiet? You think about it. In these stories, in these dreams that God that have revealed unto Joseph, and Joseph told his family, it took courage to tell these stories. Some people said, look, he's bragging. I don't think he's bragging. I think he would have guessed, kept it to himself. But I think God wanted him to tell these dreams. And it took courage. It took commitment. These were things that most people would have guessed kept silent. And most people would have just ignored. But Joseph was willing to say, I'm going to put myself in God's hand. And I'm going to let God make these things happen. I'm not going to make myself make these things happen. I'm going to allow God to make these things happen. And so often, you're going to have to realize that when you try to do something for God, people are going to laugh at you. When you try to say, I'm going to pray for that individual to get saved, somebody might laugh at you. Or I'm going to try to win 10 people to the Lord this month or this year, somebody might laugh at you. Or I'm going to try to teach a Sunday school class. Or I'm going to try to drive a bus route. Or God's called me into missions. Or God's called me to be a preacher. Or God's called me to be a better wife or a better husband. Whatever it is, some people are just not going to understand. Joseph's brothers and Joseph's mom and dad did not understand. You saw how they reacted to him. Look in verse number 19. This is later on in this story. But they mock him in verse number 19. And it says, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. They didn't look at Joseph's dreams as a reality. Instead, they mocked him. There will always be those who lack the faith and the vision that you need. It will tell you that your dreams are never inconceivable, that they're impractical and they're impossible. I know some of you know that my story when God called me to preach. And I grew up and I knew God called me to preach around 14, 13, something like that, in a junior, in a camp type setting. And for many years of my life, for about 10 years of my life, I ran from that call, God's on my life. And at the age of 25, 26, 27, God really started dealing with me, started working with me. About 28, 29, I was going to answer God's call. I was going to go into a ministry. And when I started telling my friends and my family, boy, there was a lot of different responses. Most of them were, really? Are you sure that's what you want to do? I don't think God wants you to do it. And very, very few were very encouraging. Many people thought that I would just fail or I would come home. I even was told that a couple of different times. But it's not about me. It's not about Joseph. It's about what God wants to do in our lives. And many people lack the vision and faith that if God speaks to your heart, what he can do with a life. You think about it. There are many people that were told that it was impossible to do. Did you know Alexander Graham Bell's father-in-law called the telephone a toy that no one will play with? There was a famous British man named Lord Calvin who said the radio has no future. There was a British royal astronomer, George Bedell Airy, that says the computer is absolutely worthless back in 1899. In 1899, Charles Dewell, the director of the United States Patent Office, made this statement: everything that can be invented has been invented. He was so convinced that he tried to get President McKinley to abolish his job the next year. Well, within 5 years, you see that the first Mercedes automobile was constructed. The Wright brothers successfully flew a powered airplane. The photoelectric cell was developed. And all in these 5 years that there was nothing left to invent, many, many of the greatest creations were created. And regardless of what the critics say, never let anyone kill your dreams if God is the one speaking to you. Now, Joseph was dreaming here. It wasn't something that he was looking for. It wasn't something that he was asking for. But God gave him this dream. God gave him this plan. God gave him this purpose. And all Joseph had to do was trust him. It was a truth that God had a plan for him that sustained Joseph while in prison. It was a truth that God had a plan for him while he was a slave in Egypt. It was this truth that helped him in the pit. And this is the truth that God has a plan and a purpose for you that can help you through every area of your life. Say, Pastor, I'm going through a sickness. Pastor, my children, my grandchildren, they're doing this or they're doing that. Things don't seem to be going right. Everything seems to be falling apart. Remember, God has a plan and a purpose for you if you will only be willing to submit to his will. Often during the storms and the battle of life, our dream seems to be all we have left. You say, I can't see from all the things that are around me. Remember what God's trying to do in you and for you. Remember that all things work together for good. The third thing I want you to see, and this is the last thing, is trusting God because he is right there with you. Trusting God because he's right there with you. One of the really fascinating stories when you see through the book of Genesis and we see through Joseph is that throughout the different time periods and through the different trials, there is a little phrase that says God was with them. Look in Genesis chapter 39. Look in verse number 2. In Genesis 39, verse number 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse number 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You go down to verse number 21, and the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. You go down to verse number 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Say, what are you getting at, Pastor? Over and over, we see that God was with Joseph. You say, I don't know what God's plan is. I don't know what God's purpose is. You know that God's going to be with you. If you're willing to trust God with your life, then you know what? You're going to have to be different sometimes. If you're willing to trust God with your life, not everyone's going to understand your plan and your purpose because it's between you and God. But you can always remember that he is with you. He was with Joseph in servitude in chapter 39, verses 1 through 3, when he was a slave. He was with Joseph during the subduction when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He was with Joseph while suffering in prison. The point of the story is God turned the tragedy, the temptation, and the torment and trouble into great triumph. God brought him through all these things. And then at the end of his life, Joseph's dreams became a reality. It wasn't because Joseph was asking for it. It's because Joseph was trusting in God. So how about our lives today? What is it that you're going through? What is your plans? What are your purposes? I know I hear people talking about, well, I think we should do this, this, and this. And sometimes they forget all about it. They forget all about God. They forget all about God's will. And there's nothing wrong with plans. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do something else with your life. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to have a certain job, or having a desire to get married, or having a desire to have children. There's nothing wrong with having desires for things. But what is God's will for your life? Well, we try to teach our young people and try to teach our teenagers. And sometimes it's something we got to try to teach their parents and to our church. What is God's plan? It's not about what we want. It's not about what our desire is. What is it that God wants to do? I'm sure Jacob or Israel, whichever one you want to call them, would not have wanted Joseph to leave, would not have let Joseph go to Egypt. They would not allow this to happen. But this is all part of God's plan and purpose. So how about you? Are we living for ourselves and what we want to do? Are we living for what God wants you to do? You know, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me about this, this, and this. I say, okay, I'm going to pray for God's will. They say, well, isn't it God's will for sure? I says, well, are you asking God if you want him to do this? Or are you telling God this is what you want him to do? See, there's a big difference here. Joseph would have never asked for any of those things. But God had a plan and a purpose for him. You know what God's asking us to do? He's just asking us to trust in him. And trusting him, you know, sometimes means that we're going to be a little bit different. Sometimes we're going to be socially unaccepted. Sometimes people are going to look at us and say, that's just wrong, that's you're different. You shouldn't be so different. Joseph was different. He took a stand. Sometimes people are not going to understand why you're trusting in him, why you got to have a certain plan, and why you have to do certain things. But we got to remember that God is always there with us. You know, God's plan for each and every one of us is to know him personally. God in his word says he's not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's plan and purpose for each person is to first and foremost to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. This morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ as in your heart as your personal Savior, let me encourage you to do that today. It is the greatest thing you can do in your life. It helps establish you or your eternal destiny. Because the Bible says, for those that die without Christ, whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. But for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, will spend eternity with God in heaven. Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is God preparing a place for you right now? Question is, are you saved? And if you are saved, then why aren't we trusting him? It amazes me sometimes that people can trust God with your eternal soul that will last somewhere forever, but they can't trust God when it comes to their finances. They can't trust God when it comes to their family. They can't trust God when it comes to faithfulness, and when they trust God when it comes to everyday things. I can trust God with my soul, but I can't trust God over here. Are we trusting God? Sometimes it means that you're going to be a little bit different. Sometimes it means that people are not going to understand you. Sometimes, like in this story, the brothers didn't comprehend what Joseph was talking about. The father, the mother, didn't understand what Joseph was getting at. Sometimes it means that people are not going to understand. But we got to remember that God is always there with us. This morning, are you trusting in God? I'm not talking about trusting in your wisdom, because the Bible talks about not trusting in that. Talks about not leaning unto our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what Joseph did. Joseph did not ask for any of this. He was just faithful at the beginning as a young man. He continued to be faithful. And we're going to see how God uses this and blesses him in a mighty way as the time goes along. Do you trust in God today? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads.